truly is a different time for us. I've never seen news coverage like I had this last week. It's absolutely amazing that they spent so much time on a religious symbol like they did this last week, the news, especially MSNBC and CNN as much as they did. And Fox, we know, probably would have. But even they spent a significant amount of time. We really are living in an interesting time. So interesting that the other day I saw a news clip saying that the eastern section of Oregon wants to secede. Now, that is as strange as you can get, because Oregon is as liberal as it can be, and yet they want to. Very interesting. It reminded me of the Revolution, the Revolutionary War in those times. Paul Revere, you know, was a coppersmith and became a lieutenant in the Colonial Army. And, he's remembered for his midnight ride. An interesting guy. He organized the watch over the Dartmouth, the ship that brought the tea into the harbor. He organized the watch. He actually took guard one night and was actually a ringleader of the Tea Party. That's not the Tea Party we know today. That's the Boston Tea Party. A very interesting man. He lived in Boston, the circle there in red. And you remember the ride, the midnight ride of Paul Revere. The blue line to the right there as he goes north. He took a boat. He got in a boat, slipped by a British warship in the harbor there, and went to the west. That would be to the right. That would be the north. Your north, and took that blue line. And Dawes, William Dawes, went to the left, to the south there, and went across the water. The land. He took the land bridge. And you remember the old saying, "Won it by land and took it by sea." Newman put up two lanterns in the lighthouse, and they were the British had launched boats into Boston Harbor and took a line between the green and blue line and headed toward Lexington and Concord. Samuel Adams and John Hancock were in Lexington. They knew things were coming into a head at some point. They had all the arms gathered there and Concord. And they were hidden away in Boston already, because Revere was smart. He knew this was coming, and he, as a coppersmith in Boston, began to warn people that something was coming and they need to hide their arms. By the night's end of the ride, he had gotten about 40 other riders to help him call for arms. And this allowed for enough militia to confront the British and drive them back to Boston. An interesting time for us, and I remember hearing this in school and singing songs about it and seeing things about it, and yet we kind of forget Paul Revere and his midnight ride. We're going to be talking about another midnight, as Gary read out of Matthew 25:6, but at midnight there was a cry. "Here is the bridegroom. Come out and meet him." Another midnight is coming. What is this warning? Why is Matthew 25:1-13 a warning? Who are the virgins? Well, the last time that you read this, were you concerned about your salvation? Did it frighten you? Am I not ready? Am I going to be in trouble when he shows up? Well, let's answer some of these questions. We're going to be talking about five time periods. You remember, God invented time. and he set the moon as a clock. The first period of time is going to be the ancient times, the Old Testament, the time of the patriarchs goes backwards. The time that we're in is the church age, the time of the Gentiles, the age of grace. That middle section there is a short period called the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. 7 years, we know. Then we know the nations coming after that, 1,000 years, and then into eternity. This first period is the ancient times. Look at the bottom there. Israel is the father's estranged bride. We get that out of Isaiah 62:5. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so your God will rejoice over you. Isaiah is talking to the Jews, and he's saying, God the Father is your groom. Is your husband, actually. And he will rejoice over you. Jeremiah 3:14, he says, return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for he's not going to be the husband. He is the husband. God is the husband. A metaphor of Israel, the bride, I am your husband. It's very interesting if you'll just go back and read Ezekiel 16, a very long chapter, one of the longest chapters in Ezekiel, and 64, I think, verses in there. A very concise telling of how God saw her. She became the age of marriage, and he put a corner of his garment over her, per se. You remember, your mind goes back to Ruth and Boaz. It was a tradition of theirs when he would cover her with a garment and was saying, I will take you as my bride. He gave her a nose ring. Which, when a woman got a nose ring, that was a big deal. It was we look at a nose ring and say that's longer than a horse or somebody, it's a sign of ownership. But back then, it was a sign of ownership, but not the way we look at it now. It's a sign of covenant. You are mine, and I'll take care of you. It says, Ezekiel 16, that Israel raised to the level of royalty. That is really interesting. Now, later on, you'll see a phrase talking about the Queen of Heaven. That is not a good thing. She never became the Queen of Heaven. But the metaphor of royalty as God's bride. But it goes on to say that she became wicked. An adulterous woman. She actually, get this, loathed her husband. So he said he will judge her. A sad thing. He says he actually will bring his wrath on her. As recompense, because remember, he's a righteous judge, and sins must be dealt with. But remember, he's a loving judge. He remembers his covenant. And he says, I will remember my covenant with you. And Ezekiel 16:61, he says, you, because I remember my covenant, he says, you will remember your youth and never open your mouth again because of your shame. When I atone for all your sin and all that you have done, declares the Lord. And you remember in Malachi 2:16, it says, God hates divorce. And if he hates divorce, he's going to go back after the one he chose. Now think about this. If he chose her in the first place, him being one, and some of us wives, I'll put it on that side, wonder about, I wonder if I made the right choice. Husbands sometimes, they wonder, and they go through marriage, they have tough times too. But God, he knew what he was doing. And he chose his bride with wisdom. If he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and all-powerful, and all that, we have no doubt in his choice. If you have any doubt, If you have any doubt, like some of my friends, and I they're Christian friends, but listen, this is very interesting. They doubt God's choice. I have a question for you. If you believe in God as a sovereign God, why is Israel backing away? If God had judged her and it was over, the divorce is done, then why is she back in the land? She would have never been allowed back. Adam and Eve were not allowed back. Israel was. In Hosea, God says, I will allure you. I will lure you to back to me. And it's interesting, if you go read it, she's in the desert, she's in the wilderness. And he says, I'm going to lure you back to me. I'm going to speak tenderly and softly to you. And the New Testament says, in this way all Israel will be saved. It is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And we know, now Romans 9:6 is a caveat, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Remember, the righteous will live by faith. Those who are looking for the Messiah, and we have some Messianic Jews who've got it right, it's Jesus. Now, we still have a lot of Jews looking for the Messiah. And they're going to recognize at some point Jesus is a Messiah. But there's a lot of Jews that are not living by faith, and they are not descendant of the true Israel. Because remember, it's the true seed of Abraham is those who have faith in their heart. So Israel is the bride of God the Father. But the Son has promised the bride as well. He was promised to come first, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. That's God's Son. God was promised, had promised the Son, and he would come. He's promised. And so we're in the church age. We're in the time, the second period is the church age, the time of Gentiles. The time of Gentiles is when they lord it over Jerusalem. They have their foot kind of trying to stomp on the Jews and take them out. But it's the age of grace. And the church is betrothed to the Son. The Son had come, and now the church is betrothed to her. Look what Paul says. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, Paul says to the church. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to her. Remember, not married. Not married. A spouse. Promised. The bride was promised his Son. It's very interesting to talk about human terms, things on earth, and things that happen in heaven. We want to say, well, let's see, God is the Father. He has the bride, Israel. Jesus is the Son. He has the bride, the church. And yet, Jesus and the Father are one, and the Trinity. And some of these things are very difficult to understand. But let's just put it this way. We talked about it even on Wednesday night, Steve has brought forth, that marriage was thought of by God. And just as Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations, the issue of marriage is supposed to enlighten us about our relationship with God. It's an earthly thing that's supposed to reveal a heavenly thing. Remember, Paul says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and unite to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about the church, Christ and the church. That's preeminent. That's the big deal. Because it's nice to be married on earth, but I don't know, whether you look at this positively or negatively, we will not be married in heaven. We will be espoused to our one husband, Jesus Christ. It's a mystery. And Ephesians, Paul says, 5:27, he will present to her himself, I'm sorry, Jesus will present to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So this is key. This is key. Because the church is being presented to Christ as holy and blameless, without stain or wrinkle. Is he going to do this in heaven? You see, you have to be without stain and without wrinkle to get to heaven. He's not doing this in heaven. We're either saved now or we're not. I remember being in a Bible study and it was very interesting. Probably one of the best men's Bible studies I've ever been with. It just went for a long time and lots of men showed up, and it was just very interesting to go day after day after day. And it just seemed like at some point the devil says, this is time to break this thing up. And he sent one guy in. Somebody knew him, and he came in. He started talking about life after death and salvation after death and trying to incorporate some of that stuff that we know can't be. It's false prophecy. It's false revelation. And he was a false prophet and was confronted directly, because it's now or never with Christ. We come under his blood, and remember, the Father clothes you with the clothes of Christ. It's you. It's still your own unique name, but you are clothed in the righteousness that is of Christ. And it's a disappointment that we find ourselves. If you have received Christ, if you have asked his forgiveness for sins and said, Father, I'm a sinner, I need the blood of your Son to cover my sins, you are in. There's no in and out. Because remember, God knows what he's doing. He knows how to keep us and to save us. And he knows your heart and he knows your faith. And he's not going to judge you on works after that. He's going to judge your works for reward or loss. But he's not going to judge any of your works for salvation. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You are amongst us the bride of Christ. But there are friends of the bride. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is not complete. That's John the Baptist saying the bridegroom has come. And so there's a friend of the bridegroom. And Jesus says in Matthew 9, and Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests, not the bride, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. These are friends. Who were they? Remember, the disciples were being called to task for things that they were doing as friends of Christ. The disciples, who are Jews, who are friends of Christ. John and the disciples, and any Jew at that time, were friends of Christ. So it's a unique and very intriguing question then. If this is the betrothal, then when is the wedding? That 7-year tribulation time is the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's God's Son gets married. 7 years. You see, the Father sets the date. He says it's time to go, not the Son. The Father. That's why Jesus said, I don't know the date. I don't know the hour. Because the Father had kept it from him. That's tradition. That's how God set it up. The friends met him, that is the bridegroom, on the way to the bride's house. And the virgins attended the bride. And were probably friends with the groom. The groom went to the bride's house, retrieved her, and took her to the Father's house, and had the wedding feast at Dad's house. And you see, the bridegroom, he's not here. He was here, but he's coming back. He was here to say, upon this rock, I will build my church. I will espouse my bride. And so he's come, and now he's going to come back to get the bride and take her to the feast. The kingdom of heaven is like a king, that's the Father, who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Notice, this is in Matthew 22. And the angel said to me, this is in Revelation, write this, blessed are those who are invited. The bride is not invited to the wedding feast. She's not invited. She's already been promised. She's part of the feast. She's part of the whole deal. But there are guests who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, this is our text for today, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Those who were ready is not the bride, because the bride is already ready. The bride has already been given a dowry, given a covenant, been promised. But are the guests ready? Are the guests ready? And he sent his angels and gathered the elect. That's you and me. Ephesians, Paul says in Ephesians, you, this he's talking to the church now, he's talking to the bride, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Do we ever think that the Lord is going to take that seal and rip it off our foreheads? Take it out of our hearts? That means he doesn't know what he's doing in the first place. That means his covenant doesn't stand. And this is the covenant that was with Adam and Eve. And this is the covenant that was made with Abraham. That God would save her and bless her and make all nations blessed through her. When you believe, you were marked in him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption. And Paul goes on, now it is God who set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come the way it is. You're in. There should not be any doubts. Unless we have not faced that person in the rear and said, who are you? Where do I come in on this? Do I even want to be a guest, let alone the bride? Can't really be a guest. The guests are for the Jews. Because, see, they're already the bride of the Father. We are the bride, or we're not. And so we come to that room and we say, Lord, you are a loving husband. I challenge you to go read Song of Solomon. Read it once and say, yeah, this is Solomon and his wife. Fine, go ahead and do that. But then go back and read it with a spiritual view and say, and look at how tenderly that groom deals with his espoused wife and actually confronts her at some portions and says, this is what it takes to be my bride. Go back and read that, how wonderful it is. How romantic. I know the ladies will be able to do that. They can just do it better than we can. But men, I challenge you to go back and read it with spiritual eyes. See, midnight's not a good time. Another midnight's coming, and it's not going to be a good time. Midnight in the gospel is not good. That should be your first clue when reading Matthew chapter 25. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt. You remember that. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. Who is Moses talking to? He's talking to those who don't believe in God, but he's also reminding his Jewish folks. This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go out throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. Were the Jews excluded from this? No. Unless, one thing, they came under the blood. They had faith in God and went and put the blood on their doorpost. And we look at that and go, how ridiculous is that? What kind of symbol is that of salvation? And yet it's a type of coming under the blood, of having faith. Lord God, here's why I know you believe. Here's how. Just watch me. I'm going to put this blood in here. I believe you. I'm going to watch for your coming. I believe you're coming. And they put the blood on the doorpost and they were saved. But the Egyptians were not. That's how we know. A midnight is a tribulation time of the Jacob's trouble. It is also 7 years. Look at Matthew 25:6. This is our term. But at midnight there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. So the tribulation time of Jacob's trouble is at the same time as the marriage supper of the Lamb, both lasting 7 years. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Now look at who John is talking to. This is very interesting how John put this. John is saying this to who? The crowds. But look in Matthew. Who was written to who, by the way? The Jews. But when he saw many of the Pharisees, this is John, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Who's right? They're both right. Because John is talking to the nations. He's talking to everybody. There's a wrath coming. Get out of the way. Put blood on your doorpost. But Matthew is written to the Jews, specifically for the Jews. And John is coming right after them. And then Jesus, again in Matthew chapter 23, he's talking to them again. He says, you snakes, you brood of vipers. And look how he puts it here. How will you escape being condemned to hell? Jesus said. How will you escape? So the warning is to everybody. Come under the blood. Come under the blood. Here's some clues in our text about who these virgins are. First of all, they all took their lamps. They're looking for somebody. They all took lamps, not five of them. Who's looking for somebody right now? Well, you are, but you're the bride. The bride isn't even in Matthew 25:1-13. So this is not you. Who's looking for somebody? The Jews. Look, they all rose. They heard he was there. They heard he was coming. They all trimmed their lamps. You know what you do when you trim a lamp? You've got this probably an older wick, and it's black and charcoal has been used before, and you take a pair of scissors and you clip it. You get all that charcoal and dirty, rotten stuff off of there. And you say, Lord, I want to be clean. I want to before you come. They all trim their lamps. And the foolish one said, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are running out. This is very interesting. They're going out. They're not out. They're going out. So what's happening is some Jewish folks are looking for the Messiah, but they're just giving up. Like some of the folks, I would say even the Christian church sometimes, again, going back to my good friend who's saying, the Lord isn't coming back until it's the second coming. There's no rapture. And Israel has no portion of this. He has gone to sleep. Is he saved? Probably. But he has gone to sleep. He's not looking for the bridegroom. Remember what Romans says. Not all descendants of Israel are Israel. Paul is saying this to all of us. And do this. Understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. I have a question. Have you ever seen a bride who is about ready to be married sleeping on her wedding day? you know, you hear some horror stories. But it's those maybe some of those things that just weren't supposed to be or whatever. Because the bride had an accident, or the bridegroom did something, a cold feet, whatever. That's not the situation. I've never seen a bride fast asleep on her wedding day. If anybody's going to be asleep, it's going to be us men. It's not going to be the church. It's not going to be the church as a whole. But Paul is talking to the church, but he's talking to people in the church. Remember, a church is filled with people. The first question is, are we the bride? Are we a part of this church? Do we have our names written in the book of life? There's only one way to do that. Come under the blood. Come under the blood. Don't worry about saying, I haven't reached that point. I'm not good enough. I've got to put this behind me. I can't be like them. I'm not this. I'm not. No, no, no. No. Come under the blood. Because if you're not different, then we're a bunch of robots. You're different. And God loves you for being different. Come under the blood. And know that you are saved. The bridegroom is coming back for you. In Thessalonians, he says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. You are all children of the light and day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Remember the 10 virgins. 10 means completion. It doesn't mean half an end and half an hour. It just means an order of completion. It's time. It's complete. And remember, the gospel is going to go through all the nations, and that's one thing that has not been fulfilled yet. The gospel is going to go through all the nations, and there will be a completeness, and then the bride will go in to the chamber for the wedding feast. And you are the bride. The question is, now as a bride, are we awake? Are we looking for this? You know, we started this series because of the times. Back when the Supreme Court of the United States made law, they just went out of their way to make law and have thrown our nation into a tizzy. But you know what? Jesus Christ said, I will bring a sword. I didn't bring peace, but a sword. Remember the shepherds that night? The angels came, that peace on earth, goodwill to men? No, it's not goodwill to men. Goodwill to those men who are gods. Go read it again. Goodwill to them. But he's bringing peace. He will bring peace someday. It's just not now. Because there's a midnight coming. The question is, are you the bride? I just want to suggest that if you are the bride, there is no worry. There is no concern. There's no, if I'm ready, if I'm clean enough. No, Jesus has made you clean. You are clean. But we do want to be awake when he comes. We want to be excited. I'm very excited to see this movie tonight. Last one of these was 1982. And I don't think I ever remember seeing that. I think it was, I don't know, I was in Alaska. I don't think I've ever seen one of these. Is Jesus coming back tonight? You know what? I doubt it. I really do. Because the Jubilee year is coming. And I believe that God is going to begin to set Israel free. It's going to be painful. And the church, our friends, let's turn the tables a little bit. We're friends of Israel. And now our job is to be the revered. We are to announce the cry. You know, when Paul Revere, I'll end with this. When Paul Revere, he lived in Boston. He saw the ships coming into the harbor. And do you know how they knew that the British were coming? Because he was watching them. And he noticed at some point they were taking all the rowboats out of the water. And they brought them up on deck and on shore, and they began to repair them and get them ready for their move against us. And he knew. And he began to, he spread the word throughout Boston and throughout Concord that they were coming, hide your arms. Guess who didn't know? Lexington. They had their arms just everywhere. And he said, be prepared. And that's why the ride came. Be prepared, because here they come. He was watching. Paul Revere is an interesting name. We can be the revered by calling out to others who don't know and don't see the warning that the British is coming, that midnight is coming. We can be that cry throughout, especially this next year. I think it's going to be a very significant year, this 70th year Jubilee. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and praise you and worship you and look for your coming. I pray you come today. I'm going to be looking up at the moon, the one that you set as an appointment, a calendar to come. And I'm going to be praying that the Jews look up and say, I remember your appointments. I remember your feast. Now I'm looking for the Messiah. May they be virgins who are ready, Lord. But may we be a bride who's excited. May we be a bride who is so overcome with joy that we're just excited to tell everybody, I'm getting married. Time's coming. And we look forward to it. May we never fall asleep. May we never be like the scoffers who say, where is this promise coming? May we never be scoffers. Lord, there's going to be times through this next year where somebody amongst us is going to be hurt. We're going to have relatives who may pass. We're going to have very drastic times come into our lives, Lord God, and they're going to be dark. They're going to be hurtful. But we pray that you remind us that they are tests. They are a time to allow our faith to look to you and to rest on you as our redemption draws near. We want to be tested. We want to be refined now, Lord God. Clothe us now so that we can be ready for midnight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.